Hello, everybody. I'm George Monin commenting on the FIFA World Cup, as in Fédération Internationale de Foot Association. So, though English is the working language of FIFA, as a compromise, the name of the organization is in French. So, this is this quadrennial World Cup. Okay, it was a bit out of sequence last time because we're coming out of COVID when it was hosted by, God, who was it hosted by? Was it Japan? Now when Argentina beat France in the final, I was watching the final, the only match I watched. And then France was Argentina was two up at halftime. Oh, that's it, they won. I went home, and then obviously France scored twice more, went to penalties. In the end, Argentina won. Okay, so the first time they ever won, but this time we're down to quarterfinals of the. No, we now know the semi-finals. Just had the quarterfinals, so only four teams in it: France, Spain, England, and Argentina. Now, has only ever been won by countries from either Latin America or Europe. So is it Brazil's won five times, Germany four, Italy four, France twice, Uruguay once. When I say Germany, of course, it was West Germany in, when was it, 1954 and again 1990. Who else? Spain won in 2010. And any other country won besides those ones? The Netherlands, quite unlucky. The Netherlands, thrice finalists, they never won. Most recently finalists in 2010. They were doing very well in the 70s. That's it. So why is it that it's very much dominated by Europe and Latin America? And that's partly money, because you need the talent spot as the youngest age. Obviously, you need people who are well-nourished, who've got superb medical care, got the best training, the best boots, the best everything, and so forth. It's the world's most popular sport, partly because to play, I mean, at a low level, all you need is a ball and a bit of space. You don't even need grass, no expensive equipment. So that's it. So I'm the world's least informed football commentator, watching the first half of Norway versus England. Now, I consider the English to be reject Irish. Okay, this is tongue in jest. That's a tongue in cheek. I'm in jest. So England is East Ireland, so I can claim some share in that victory. I've actually got a fraction of Norwegian ancestry. But Harry Kane's a quarter Irish, so, you know, I can regard this as Ireland's victory. Right, and I predicted 2-1, indeed it was 2-1, and I saw the Norwegian defence was superb to begin with. And obviously, England had the run of it because they had the ball about 75% of the time, the territory 75% of the time. They're just outside the Norwegian penalty area for a lot of it, but they just couldn't break through. I was surprised at their circumspection, often passing back. I think it's to keep possession, really, at all costs. And obviously, they lost it occasionally. But I see what distinguishes international sides from other ones, because they were all almost all excellent passes. The passes got through almost, they were almost always excellent receptions. I don't know what else you call them, when the guy, because in an ordinary level team, the kind of rubbish team I would have played when I was sort of a 10th rate footballer at school, the pass would be bad and not get through. Sometimes the pass was good, but the person to receive it screwed up. And obviously, athleticism just so fast. The coordination. So the Norwegians obviously knew what they're doing. They're man marking. Sometimes I thought, well, it's kind of obvious that the ball's going to go to him next. And it did. And sometimes I thought the English players just not given options. This guy is here. He's got the ball. There's one guy to his right. There's nobody to his left. Someone's behind him. Why do you come up to the left unmarked? And then you're given two options. It's more difficult for the Norwegian defenders and so on. And then obviously there was that Norwegian score early on. People saying it was supposed to be a pass. I noticed Crown Prince Haakon was there. And the Norwegian is doing their rowing their Viking longship. Now, the Vikings, they raided and pillaged much of Western Europe, sailing up these rivers in their narrow, but ships with a very small draft, so very maneuverable, could turn around very fast. The trouble is they could capsize very easily because they didn't draw much water. But they had a gruesome reputation, often for attacking unarmed people, particularly monks, thinking the monks would not fight back and so on. I mean, I know that's 1,000 years ago or so on, but talk about a bit non-PC, slightly insensitive, because, you know, I'm not a PC person at all, but whatever the Irish or British equivalent is, I mean, I wouldn't be doing that one. I don't think anyone's upset by it these days. The Norwegians held their own, and then it was Bellingham. I hadn't heard him before. Jude Bellingham, he scored. I thought, God, just look at those thighs. He's just so muscular, so athletic. Okay, what would you expect? He's a full-time professional athlete for years with the best training, the best physio. He's putting 40 hours a week into his physical fitness. The same can't push himself too hard lest he injure himself. They ensure their legs and stuff, don't they? And then, Harry Kane's goal, justice allowed. It was just offside. Fortunately, I'm not emotionally involved, so I can say, yeah, that was offside. And it was very gutting for the English to acknowledge that. And there was a foul on Harry Kane just for the Norwegian goal, but the referee didn't pick that up. Had that been picked up, that player would have been able to break through and score. And then I didn't see the second half when Henry Bellingham, the former Tory MP, when Jude Bellingham, isn't that his name, when he put it in the back of the Norwegian net. So that was a good result from Miami, Florida, England through to the semi-finals for the first time. They were there in 2018 when England was rated fourth in the world. They're rated fourth in the world again for getting this World Cup. So worst case scenario, England still fourth. So England versus Argentina. I forecast Argentina win 2-1, obviously the reigning champions. France, Spain, I reckon that'll be, Argentina 2-0. I reckon France, Spain, I think it's 2-1 to France. So I see a final coming ahead of France versus Argentina. But this time the French will exact vengeance, will be 2-1. I always find it very unsatisfactory when it's settled on penalties. I remember 1994 watching the World Cup final, Brazil versus Italy, and in the United States, the very first time the USA ever hosted it. And in the final, Dino Baggio, the Italian, he donked it over the bar, and he single-handedly lost it for his country. Very courageously, he took a penalty for Italy in the 1998 World Cup and scored. So, yeah, there we go. You know, you think, you know, a five-year-old could get that goal. How does he manage to miss? Paralysis by analysis, overthinking it. Put it all out of your mind. Just do something simple. 75% chance you score. Even if you don't score, you don't have the embarrassment you actually missed. But that's it. I mean, talk about pressure. The eyes of the world of you, a billion pairs of eyes, maybe booing and hissing and jeering in the background. Because there's just so much riding on it. They screw up the really simple things. Obviously, it's anxiety, nervousness, addressing a big audience. It can sometimes mispronounce things, fluff my speech up. There are often two different ways to say things. I haven't made my mind up which one to say them. Two different grammatical ways. And they do a melange of the two, which, of course, comes out ungrammatically. Because, you know, oracy, that's my thing. So, goodness, well, I wouldn't say quite nail-biting. So I really hope it doesn't go to penalties as it did last time. But, I mean, I know, obviously, you can have extra time and you can have sudden death. And eventually, you've got to go penalties. They can't go on forever. I thought of taking players off. You got 10 aside. Let's take off one on his side for a minute. They've got 10 aside. Now let's take off another 9 aside. So there are fewer and fewer players. So the pitch is just as big. It's exhausting. It's much easier to break through, harder to defend, and so on. Goodness. So what do you think? Who's going to win? But yeah, I mean, obviously France have won every game by at least 2 goals. England had that goalless draw against Ghana. Unconvincing. You know, that's a moral victory to the Ghanaians. England ought to have beaten the West African country by 2-0 and so on. So I know France, they won all their matches. They haven't absolutely run away with it, thrashing people so by sort of a 5-goal margin or things like that. I've been told that 0-0 is the most common score in international football. I don't know if that's true. So, goodness, what a display yesterday night it was. The only trouble is if South Britain wins, then the South British will be insufferable. And I thought I would hear it when I went to bed early that people were cheering from the pub down the street, but obviously it's too far away to hear that. I can't forget watching the 1994 World Cup, and a certain 40-something woman said, "Oh, those two poor boys, they must be so hot in those nylon shirts." And the teenage girl said, "You're such a housewife, is that all you can think about? This is the World Cup final." All right, thanks for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.